This meeting is now being recorded.
Anybody have any doubts? So welcome all to the Truck Work Budget Advisory Committee meeting. We all know each other. I don't think we're going to do a roll call in a moment, but as far as introductions go, that's what name tags are for. I'm John Conklin, by the way, because I'm supposed to tell people to identify themselves when they're talking, so I'm following that rule. And welcome all back. I do want to take special note and welcome members. I describe them as new members, but they're folks who all know that this committee or others. Judge Blum, there you go. Judge Heinrichs, thank you. And Jake, I talked to Jake quite a bit yesterday. He was going to do his best to get here, but his comment was something's come up, as it always seems to do. So, Jake, are you on the phone?
I am.
Great. Okay. Welcome. So Jake is back with us. As far as this committee goes, you may note that I think we've decreased by one member. And candidly, I think that I think that's something that keeps us effective. So I didn't want that to be viewed as anything more than I thought by just consolidating a little bit. I think we continue to remain efficient and effective. And if we've noticed that, that was why. Also, as far as beyond committee members, we have staff also joining us today. And I'm going to introduce, if you don't know, Brandy Sanborn. Brandy is now here and is participating. Brandy comes to us from the Contra Costa Superior Court and their finance department. She's lead staff to our committee. So that's what Brandy's going to do. I've been working with Brandy now since she joined in August, and I think you will find her to be effective. As the rest of the staff is, in my experience. Also, we have Lucy, obviously next to me, Zlatko is here. And to my left in the back is Colin Magic Simpson. And joining Colin is also now Suzanne Lee Hubdy. I got it. And she spelled it phonetically for me, so thank you very much. Magic has advanced, and she is now Magic in both form and substance. So. I welcome her, they're big shoes to fill, but she's doing a good job filling them already. So with that, I will ask Brandy to take roll call so we all know each other are here.
Judge Conklin?
Present.
Judge Barton?
Here.
Judge Blum?
Here.
Judge Earl?
Here.
Judge Coates?
Here.
Judge Herman?
Here.
Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Johnson?
Judge Johnson, are you on the phone? Okay.
Judge Coffman?
Here.
Judge Cole?
Here.
Judge Maragonda?
So let me just ask, is anybody else on the phone besides Jake?
Judge McCabe?
One present.
Judge Sanders?
Judge Sanders let me know she would not.
Ms. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Chatter?
Here.
Honey?
Here.
Ms. Grimm?
Here.
Mr. Hamlet?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Planet? Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Romero Solis?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here. All right, welcome all. We're going to have a business meeting this morning that we'll take care of. Pardon me? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to ask Brandy to go over housekeeping items as well. Brandy?
As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Members of the public can join the call via a listen-only code, permitting them to join and leave at any time without notice or interruption. Members on the phone, we ask that you please place your phones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. Please do not place us on hold at any time during the meeting to avoid distractions caused by on-hold music. Please identify yourselves prior to speaking for the benefit of all participating and listening to the meeting.
Great. With those rules in mind, I am going to request a motion to approve the minutes of the July 7th, August 9th, and October 12th meeting. Not all at once. Judge Kuhl?
Second
from Ms. Romero Solis, sorry. All in favor of approving the minutes of each of those three meetings, aye.
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 Any objections? None. Thank you very much. Okay, we've completed that portion of the business meeting. My understanding is, and I'll look for an update, that there were no public comments to today's meeting.
That's correct.
Okay, no public comments at all. And is there anybody present who would like to make a public comment? I know we have some visitors present, but apparently no public comments. Great. Okay, so the public comment portion is closed. We're well ahead of schedule. I will note, just if you're interested, if you're looking at our members and where they're assigned, we do have a change of assignment, so to speak. Mr. Yamasaki is now employed, or about to be, right, in December, right, David?
That's correct.
Orange County. And as announced in the Daily Journal this morning, Rebecca is now going to Santa Clara. So that was in the Daily Journal this morning, so that's public. So each of those counties suffers a loss that is made up for in the person that is coming in to take over that charge. So congratulations to both of you. If you're wondering how today is going to work, we have three items on our business agenda. I don't anticipate those items will take more than an hour and a half and perhaps less. I did receive some calls about why aren't we doing this meeting over the phone today, if we just have that little bit to do. And I asked that this meeting be in person for two reasons. We haven't had an in-person meeting in a while, and my perspective is I think we need to come together every now and then, if not for camaraderie, for effectiveness. I just think we're more effective in person. It's not that we're not effective on the phone, but I think in the room, face-to-face, it advances discussions. Then we will break and go to lunch or have lunch here. That'll probably take about a half an hour. And then I'd like to reconvene at 12 noon at the latest and go till 2 o'clock at the latest for an educational session. It will be a closed session, not that it's anything going to happen in that session that does not need to be public, but it's an educational session. It's a session for the members to allow them to discuss items of concern, but more importantly, we're going to talk about work this committee completes and does, especially that related to WAFM. If we are not, and I'll talk about this more when we start the educational session, it's not my goal today to change WAFM in any way, to even debate to a significant degree issues about WAFM, but we're going to get there. So I think by getting there, we need to make sure we all have a similar understanding of how it started and where it got us. I know I'm repeating myself. I'll say this at noon. I don't think that I'm trying to open this up right now to get my way or to say where I think we should go. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to help everybody understand. There's some folks here today that were in the room then, and give them an opportunity to talk, but more to educate. Zlatko is going to help us do that. But we'll cover that more when we start the educational session at noon. We are still on the record in the public session, and that gets us to item number one. Child Support Commissioner and Family Law Facilitator Funding Allocation Joint Subcommittee Interim Report. We have Judge Cope and Anna Maves presenting on this, and Mark's ready to go.
We have actually Anna Maves and Judge Cope presenting on this. She's got most of it. I'll just kind of, if you don't mind, give a brief introduction, because we talked the other day, and I think most everything that we have to tell you is contained in really a short memorandum that's in your materials. It's only 3.5 pages. 1058 is the shorthand for the funding of child support issues, both in the courts and also on the, in the courts, both for the courts themselves and also for those who are coming to court, the child support offices around the state. And the methodology for funding those programs has been the same methodology since 1997, and we're in the process then of, as directed by the Judicial Council, of reviewing that methodology and determining whether changes are necessary and appropriate. And we've made quite a few efforts already, and there's really a lot more to go. Would you say?
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Anna Maves. I am the AB 1058 Program Manager and Supervising Attorney here at the Judicial Council. And just to kind of repeat what Judge Cope said, the Judicial Council created a joint subcommittee from representatives from the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, the workload assessment Advisory Committee and the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to come together to make a recommendation about a funding methodology for the AB 1058 program, both for the Child Support Commissioner side of the program and for the Family Law Facilitator side of the program. The funding for the program comes through the Department of Child Support Services through a contract with the Judicial Council, and then those funds are then allocated to the court through separate funding for facilitators and separate funding for the commissioner. So the council had convened a work group that had made some recommendations, worked together to try to identify some methodology. And when we went back to the council in February, the recommendation that came out of the joint subcommittee was to reconvene the subcommittee, continue to work on a funding methodology, to try to find a methodology that was separate from the facilitators than was from the commissioners. Previously, the facilitator funding had been tied to how the funds were distributed or allocated for the commissioners. So to gather data, to work with subject matter expert groups of commissioners and facilitators and get more input from them on the specific work that they do so that their work could be appropriately measured, and also work with the Department of Child Support Services, who are also going through their own funding methodology work group to try to reallocate funding for the local child support agencies in the county. So this report is a work in progress. The council had asked the subcommittee to come back to the council in December just to give a status update of what the work of the joint subcommittee was, and to do that, we go through back through each of the advisory committees and update you all, and then go up to the council with the update. We're anticipating completing the work for implementation for fiscal year 18-19, so we need to get something back to the council either late next calendar year or early the following calendar year. So that's kind of our time frame and deadline for moving things forward. Yeah.
Any questions? And I'm on the joint subcommittee, so maybe I should know the answer to this, but is staff working on an alternate sort of workload measurement model at the moment?
Sure. So the two subject matter expert groups, one for the facilitators, one for the commissioners, have been doing a lot of work about identifying how to measure their workload. The commissioner side is a little easier. There's a lot of options available with regard to counting cases, counting motions, counting calendaring time, that kind of thing. The facilitator side is a little less easy to count. Sometimes their work involves not putting something on a calendar, you know, providing assistance for people that doesn't result in something getting filed. So that's exactly what's going on right now is they're reviewing their work, they're developing focus groups to identify something countable and measurable.
Yeah. Is someone from the LIAS, from the Judicial Council Statistical Unit, that's been so involved in RAS and judicial assessment involved in that? Because it sounds a bit squishy for someone who loves numbers. What you're talking about sounds a bit squishy rather than statistically based.
Sure. So the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee staff to that committee, Dina Paroli, is also tasked to the subcommittee as well.
Great.
Yeah. So if I could, just start, I may be sort of slow on this, but I think that the update study that's going on across all case types, which we'll see the data from in the spring to feed into WAFM, that workload study includes filings that would be defined as 1058 filings, right?
So my understanding is that included work of the facilitators, but not necessarily of the commission.
That would be true. I think that's true of the facilitator because they're staff.
Right.
But
is not part of WAFM.
No, it's a separate funding source.
Okay.
It's, yeah, a grant.
Part of
but my understanding was that the workload for the cases,
RAS,
that falls under 1058 is counted and is studied as part of the overall WAFM. Not the commissioners as such, but
Am I wrong? I just don't
but
know.
The work of staff, not judicial officers.
workload is separate and distinct, and it's the commonality between Wofford and 1058, but they're, the two of them are separate.
My understanding is it's subtracted out at one point. So it's counted, but then it's subtracted out.
Yeah, so I just don't know. I guess Mark, and Leah's here later on, later, but I think we're probably the best one to clarify that. Mark had a comment.
I think Jake would also, Colin could speak to Jake as well.
His head's moving in multiple directions in the back, so he could also do that as well.
So,
you want to come closer to the group so the folks on the phone could hear it?
All right.
Well, you guys, that's work.
So, you're both actually right. And you're both actually wrong. And the reason for it is that the work related to the AB 1058, those processes, trust park commissioner, family law facilitator, work related to that cannot be distinguished from the other family law work that is done. So therefore, when RAS does, when they do their time studies, the assessment of the RAS FTE needs, they're actually including the AB 1058 work when they calculate the FTE needs. So from that perspective, it is included in looking at the FTE needs. However, when we then convert that FTE need into dollars for Wofford, what we do is at the very end when we're calculating the funding need, we actually subtract from that final calculated need number the amount of funding that the courts were provided related to AB 1058, excluding certain things that wouldn't be considered WAFM, which would be the money provided for child support commissioners because they wouldn't be included in the judicial, their judicial officers, so they wouldn't be part of it, as well as, say, security and court interpreters. So it is included, but then through a
carve-out.
As a temporary solution, we basically subtract that those dollars provided to the courts from the toll funding needs for now. However, as part of the current time study, they are looking at a way to distinguish or distinctly measure the work related to AB 1058 from that as non-AB 1058 so that going forward, we won't have to provide that solution on at the end. They will just exclude it in the beginning.
Very helpful.
Right?
Does that answer your question too, Judge Kaufman? Yeah, wait till the staff. All right. Any other questions? Mark, anything you'd like to add?
No, I just to emphasize something that Anna has said, and that is DCSS, the State Department of Child Support Services, is both kind of partnering with us on this, but in a parallel process with us, and so. You know, there's some discussion about how much there should be a partnership between us and the parties that appear in our courts, and I get that, and that's an important part of what needs to be considered as the process goes along, but we can certainly learn a lot from what they're doing, and hopefully they're willing to learn something from what we're doing. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sherry?
So just my follow-up. I knew exactly what Colin was saying because what we're doing is we're talking about measurements, and then we're talking about dollars, and if you don't subtract out what you get from your federal funding grant, you're double dipping, sort of. So my question is, since we now know they're being measured, I'm assuming that a lot of that measurement will roll up into what you're doing, so that's perfect.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. That was part of what we were when we went back to council with more time. That was part of what we were hoping to get is
absolutely.
That information.
I just have a quick question. So the problem really is that the funding is being determined by the Fed, by DCSS. Is that correct?
So the Department of Child Support Services operates the state plan,
right.
So they get two-thirds funding from the feds and one-third from a state match. The problem is that the state match part, the state legislature hasn't increased the match since 2008, so we're not able to pull down more federal funding. And part of the reason for that is that each state is measured on 5 federal performance measures, and one of the federal performance measures is cost effectiveness. And California ranks very low in that measure. And so the legislature's been hesitant about giving us more money if they don't know how that's going to improve either cost effectiveness or the other federal performance
measures. So at the end of next year, DCSS is going to come up with their audits, is that correct?
Is going to come up with their
audits. They're auditing us right now, and they're taking the process.
They are. They're auditing the courts right now, and they're also doing a funding methodology for the local child.
We're talking about the funding methodology at the end of next year when that comes in. we could be really hurt depending on what they decide. Is that correct? Do we have any control over that?
On what they have?
We made the argument having to distribute funds. In reality, the funds are going to go someplace else. It's going to be so low. It's a problem.
I don't anticipate them reducing the funds for our program.
Yeah, but I also go into retirement, too.
So they have a stake in having courts that can accept their filings and do their work. That's
not as sanguine as you are.
Well, there's been some interesting discussions of the interplay between the two. I think it's a fair way to put it. Any other questions, concerns? All right. Thank you both very much. Appreciate it. This is a long term, as I understand it, we're about a year out from where we ultimately go back, and you'll come back again to us, as the assignment is, so that is they'll come back again to us with the same update. And then, as you remember before, there was a recommendation before, and our committee sort of tweaked it. We had a little bit of different take on it. We went to the council with it, and we were given direction, and that's why we're back where we are. So if any of you are wondering, well, I thought we already did this. We haven't completed it yet, and I think it is advisable to take some time to make sure that we both understand it and have an effective outcome. Okay? Great. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Okay. The next item is item two. So that, by the way, was not an action item. There's no vote necessary. It was just an update. Next item is an action item, so keep that in mind as we're discussing it, and that's the minimum operating and emergency reserve policy, and we're going to hear from none other than Zlatko on this.
All right. Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it. So as a result of the 1% cap, there was a reason to look at the historical minimum operating funding that was necessary.
Can you just be in for 1 second, just when you say 1% cap, tell us, just so everybody.
The restriction on how much fund balance can be carried over from year to year. Historically, there had been a policy that the council had for trial courts in terms of what they should keep as a minimum operating and emergency fund. And it was a share of your size budget. And so it was hoped to sort of keep the level of fiscal health at each court, setting aside the fact at that time there was no cap on fund balances. But in some cases, some courts were close at those minimum operating levels. But with the imposition of the cap by the state, unfortunately, there was a reason to revisit that policy. So it's effectively suspended for a couple of years and then suspended again. And that suspension period is ended as of June 30th of this year. So we're bringing this back in part because we're just sticklers for, you know, if there's a policy related to fiscal and financial matters, we want to make sure it's current in one form or the other. And so while we haven't prepared anything other than forwarding to you what was the prior recommendation and adopted council position, I think it's worth just reading what was recommended, because I think in the middle of it, it seems a bit awkward, and I think it's worthy of a discussion. Because I think the goal is still valid in terms of our efforts to repeal the 1%, and so we're not sitting here saying that we should somehow give up on that, but that's still a part of our advocacy. But I think in reading it, I think the middle section seems worthy of a discussion, just because it seems that requesting the minimum operating fund, emergency funding balance be in addition to the 1% while maintaining our efforts to repeal the 77203 restrictions. The 1% is effectively the limits, in some ways the maximum, and whether or not we take 0.5%, we're just not sure. But again, we're just bringing you forward what was written and approved previously for discussion. We can take something that makes sense going forward to the council for their action.
Questions, concerns? Okay.
Can I
move? Sure. Okay. Dr. Cole moved, Mr. Yamasaki seconded, and let's make sure we all understand it. When we say adopt the recommendation, is that the recommendation on page 17 of the material?
Yep.
So everybody has that. I want to make sure we all understand what the motion is without a change to adopt the recommendation set forth on page 17. That was moved and seconded. Any discussion concerning that motion? Any questions?
Is there anybody opposed to this that you're aware of? I mean, this gives us the flexibility that we want to maintain. Are you aware of it?
Outside of us, no. No, nobody raised any issues the last time there was. Just my point was is that having the sentence, the portion in the middle requesting that the minimum operating and emergency fund balance be in addition to the 1%,
right.
I don't know if that's necessary to continue. Rather, we extend the suspension for 2 years while continuing to seek the repeal of 772, which I think seems to be maybe the clearer statement. We never describe what on top of 1% maintaining another. We're not allowed to maintain anything in addition to the 1%.
And that does not include an expectation that we will be successful in the next 2 years in repealing.
I would say that because it's only a extension, that our efforts will continue.
They will continue, but there is no expectation, correct? Just checking. Because I think DOL has made it very clear where they stand on this issue.
And I would say this, though, and I'm starting to introduce this into some of my commentary to folks, is that the governor's term is ending, and therefore I would be hopeful that we could compel a new administration, including a new director of the Department of Finance, to see our situation differently.
Right.
So I think as we're winding down these last couple of years as a Brown administration, we should be looking forward to what it is that we're establishing as our message for a new administration. So I would say that with change comes opportunity.
And I appreciate that perspective, and that will be part of our conversation this afternoon too. So not to sound either pessimistic about the near future or overly optimistic about beyond that, I think we need to start talking about what's going to 2 years from now. There's no it's going to change, and I think we can be effective in getting out messages prior to that time. I will note that Judge Johnson has joined us, and she has a question, so we're going to get there in just a minute. And Mr. Planet has joined us as well. He can actually come sit up at the big table if you want.
Yeah.
He's planning for Thanksgiving when he's at the little table. So. All right. Judge Johnson?
Well, I thought the intent of this was to have the historic fund balance requirement remain in place but be suspended as a backstop in case we were successful in the event of a repeal. Is that pretty much the intention?
I think if it was repealed, we would be coming back to the council for revision anyway. So, I think from a clarity standpoint, striking the word from request to while, I think, and in the interim continue, to me that I think just makes sense.
So what are you suggesting under the motion so we can amend it? But what are you suggesting?
Well,
start the language?
First, could I follow up with
sure.
Bob? Because I agree with you, Flacco, that with the prospect of a changing administration, some of these things are more in play than they have been, and it might be helpful in the persuasion towards repealing the cap that we do have something in place and that it would seamlessly be in effect if the repeal happens.
But it speaks to it being in addition to the 1% cap. So we're adding an expectation that they can't meet, in my opinion, is you're maxed at 1% and you have, in addition to, a minimum fund balance?
No, what I'm driving towards is some alternate language that might be...
that's fine.
That would perhaps lift the suspension in the event of the repeal.
Okay, well, that's
something to think about, acting on our own as a branch, being proactive to address some of these policy concerns that finance has expressed for a long time might be in our benefit in Sacramento. Just a thought.
Okay, so I'm just trying to be procedurally careful. There's a motion that's been seconded, but I've also heard discussion about what I'm interpreting as a potential amendment to the language and the recommendation.
Well, I agree with Flacco that the in addition language is confusing.
Okay, so
I first support the motion that's on the floor to adopt it with that language out, and perhaps we can talk about another amendment after that. Would that be okay?
Yeah, so that makes sense to me. And so the language from, I think it would be from and through cap, right? That those words should be removed.
So just read me the way you think it should read. Is your motion?
Extend the suspension of the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy for two fiscal years until June 30, 2018, while in the interim continue seeking the repeal of Government Code Section 77203.
So the suggestion is also until June 2018 or unless Government Code Section 77203 is repealed.
Right. Or earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
So that encompasses what you
said. Or earlier, yeah, GC 77203 is repealed.
Or amended to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
One issue is then, as we were talking about.
I guess I could just say changed.
Whether or not it would be reasonable, if we're talking about reasonability and what might be reasonable, is whether lifting the cap entirely or some other percentage would be in place.
So do you have the language you need, Brandy? Okay. Does every – so is now
– Yeah, that's good with me.
Okay.
Who would you second?
All right. So as amended, moved and seconded. Go ahead, Judge Earl.
Can you restate the amended language?
Sure. Thanks, Brandy.
First day we test. Here we go. Extend the suspension of the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy for two fiscal years until June 30, 2018, or earlier if Government Code Section 77203 is appealed or amended, while in the interim continue seeking the repeal of Government Code Section 77203.
All right. And that's what the motion and the second intended, correct? That's the way I had it. Okay. Any other questions? Any confusion or any comments? Motion is made and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Show that Mr. Chatters is... as well, no opposition. So the recommendation as amended set forth on page 17 and accurately recited by Brandy is approved. And that will be then, what's the next step in this then? It's been approved. Goes to council. And what meeting will that be? Do we know?
January
meeting?
Okay. The way the schedule for the council meetings has been changed.
Right. As of next year. Shifting.
So odd months.
Okay.
Well, some work that used to be taken to the council in August is not going to be done as part of our work for the July meeting.
So I think the July meeting has a different perspective. Okay. All right. We're making great progress. And moving now to item 3, juvenile counseling collections. And I think Don is on. Are you on the phone?
Yes, Judge, I am.
Okay.
This is Don Will at the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. Item 3, this is the third year that this committee's been asked to approve this allocation. The Dependency Council Collections Program was mandated by the legislature in 2011 that the council create guidelines to collect funding from parents who are able to pay for themselves or their children in dependency proceedings, and that the money be redistributed through an allocation formula to the neediest courts to pay for dependency counsel. The phone's a little strange. Judge, can you hear me? Okay, good. So the council adopted those guidelines for collecting and for redistributing the funding in 2013. They say this is the third year we've asked approval to carry these allocations to the council. There is $629,000 available to allocate to eligible courts. This year that was collected last year, there are 18 courts eligible under the criteria, which is a court's percentage of funding need greater than the percentage of the total funding it's receiving at any time. So there are 18 courts eligible. There were 11 courts that also were eligible and had a program, which makes them able to receive the allocation. You see in the attachment what those courts were, and the allocation is made as a proportion of based on each eligible court's proportion of need. And there is as program managers, we are following up with courts. You'll note that some have not spent all of their funding that they've received from prior years. I believe the main reason for this is that courts eligible for this funding were also eligible for increased dependency council funding through the other process that this committee and the council approved, both the reallocation of funding from some courts to other courts and the allocation of the $11 million that the governor gave us in 2014-15. So, but we'll continue to follow up with the courts and ask them to spend out any received funding that they've been rolling over. Thank you, Judge.
All right, point of order. Questions, concerns?
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hi.
That everybody knows that these are council decisions, and I'm not really sure why, you know, it's not more strongly stated that the council has already agreed to this allocation procedure, and it seems like we come back and ask permission to follow a council, you know, decision. And I think in the future, I would suggest that the memo say that we confirm to follow rather than kind of recommend to allocate when the council's already decided. So
we can't override the council.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think, I mean, I understand. I think Zocco and I have had this discussion before about why do we do this over and over every year, and it's kind of like we want to make sure people know that these policies are in place, and I think that's a really good idea. But this is a council policy decision for, this is the third year, right, Don?
Yes.
That was it.
Good point. Okay. Any other questions, concerns, issues? So this is also an action item. The recommendation is set forth at page 18 and 19 of your material. I'm not going to read it. I'll have it.
So we follow the council policy and allocate the funds.
Sherry moves, Ms. Carter moves that we follow the council policy and allocate the funds as set forth on the recommendation of page 18 and 19 of the material. Second by Jeff Lewis. Any additional debate or questions? All in favor of the motion? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? So approved unanimously.
Possibility, are we now done with the agenda?
We are, except I'm supposed to ask if any members have joined by phone except Jake. I think we have, now we have just about everybody here. We're still missing Judge Argonda and Judge Saunders, but Judge Saunders and I spoke last week, and she indicated that she would most likely not be able to attend. And then, so before closing the agenda and the business meeting, Sherry, did you have a...
No, I was just going to be hopeful that we would start earlier on the educational training.
I have a plan.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for the open meeting business agenda? We always have to stick with the items on the agenda, but any other questions, thoughts? With that, we're going to close the business meeting. I know it took us 40 minutes, and the recording is going to conclude following the procedural rules that the business meeting has now concluded. Thank you all so much, but if there are, so I'm just going to say it out because I want to make sure we keep Mr. Shatters on the phone.
He will need to dial in.
Jake, did you get that?
Oh.
So here's my
phone.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.